Hi, it's Melanie Brown from Virtue here. Thanks for tuning in to the Virtue Podcast. In this episode, we're taking a little detour from our study in the Book of Acts to do a seasonal study that we're calling the Advent Series. You might be wondering what these recordings are all about. First of all, let me define what Advent means. Advent means the arrival. As Christians, it's the anticipation of Christ arriving into the world. It's the countdown to Christmas. In the next few weeks, we hope to help you prepare for this significant time of celebration. I would describe myself as a ponderer and a processor. I thrive having a schedule. I delight in timelines, calendars, agendas, and checkoff lists because I want to be prepared. I really don't like to be surprised, and I'm not spontaneous by nature. I think that's why I love the idea of Advent, because it's giving me ample time to get ready for the most amazing holiday of the year, the day we recognize the greatest gift ever given, and that's the arrival of Jesus into this world. And as I'm saying this, I realize it's hard to be surprised by the coming of Christmas, right? It's not like it can sneak up on us unnoticed, thanks to aggressive commercialism pressuring us to shop early and shop frequently. But I'm not talking about getting a jump start on buying presents or prepping our homes for the holiday, but readying our hearts so that we don't miss Jesus and the significance of the season. In this week one of our series, the lesson had us focus on the name above all names. The name of Jesus. A name identifies who you are, and a title describes what you do. For example, my name is Melanie, which actually means black or dark. It's the name my parents gave me at birth. They chose it because they liked the sound of it, not because of its origin. But the other names or titles I answer to are Mrs. Brown, letting you know I'm a married woman. Mom, indicating I have children. Teacher tells you what I do. I could also be called a gym rat, friend, ministry leader, housewife, among other things. And I'm affectionately nicknamed Melbel by my husband. So when you put all these names and titles together, you get a clearer understanding of who I am. In a similar way, the Lord has given us His name and titles so that we would get to know Him better. In the Bible, a name refers to nature because names so often reveal something about the nature of the person bearing the name. Jesus was the name given to Him at His birth. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title, and it means Messiah, anointed one, or chosen one. In the Gospels, Jesus is acknowledged as the Son of God, noting his divinity and relationship with God the Father. He's also referred to as the Son of Man, highlighting his humanity. I read that there were over 200 names and titles of Christ found in the Bible. We won't exhaust that list, but let's look at the names of Jesus given to us in Isaiah 9:6. The scripture reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Just this one verse alone holds so much treasure and insight into who Jesus is. But he doesn't want us to only be familiar with his name, but to know him personally, intimately, and experientially. Which of these titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, have you known to be true in your own life? For me, it would be Jesus as my wonderful counselor. I talk to him, pour out my heart before him. Whether it's fear or frustration, sadness or confusion, whether it's hurt feelings of offense, or disappointments that I don't know how to deal with. I've learned from the example of David in the Psalms that God can handle any and all of my emotions. He wants me to cry out to Him and to trust Him with my innermost struggles and secrets. I've learned to not only talk to the Lord, my counselor, but to listen when He speaks. His word is my medicine, the prescription that I need. He's my most trustworthy advisor and closest confidant. I've been meditating on Isaiah 50, verse 4. It's my new favorite verse. And one translation says it like this, that He sustains the weary with a word. Another translation says, He knows how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. I love that, because no matter what we're going through, we can talk to our wonderful counselor and get his perfect perspective on the situation, and he will speak a word to us that will sustain us. He promises to guide us with his counsel, that he will instruct and teach us the way we should go, and I need that. How often I just cry out to him and I say, Lord, I don't know how to think about this situation or how I should respond in this circumstance. But then I remember that all scripture is inspired by God. That means it's God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, correcting, and instructing, and preparing us for everything that we face in life. I heard this quote that says, when we open our Bible, God opens his mouth. The primary way God speaks to us is through his word. Last week, I noticed that my daughter's countenance was a little off. She seemed distracted and overwhelmed, and I could tell something was wrong. And I asked her, Savannah, are you okay? And she said, I will be. I'm going to go get my Bible and spend some time with the peacemaker. And I quickly wrote that down, what she said, because that's exactly what we need to do. When we feel ourselves spinning out of control, we need to center ourselves with the Word of God. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's the ruler and captain over our thoughts and hearts. He's our peace, which means our completeness, our soundness, safety, and quiet. I need to remember that because the world has its own agenda during the Christmas season, and it's not about Advent and preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and the entirety of what that means. And if we're not careful, the most wonderful time of the year could also be the most stressful time of the year. God promises that He will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are fixed and focused on Him because we're trusting in Him. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The peace Jesus is offering is not found in the world. His peace holds us secure in times of difficulty. It dissolves fear. It exceeds our own understanding and stands guard over our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace. I thought that was so interesting. What that means is that we have to allow God to rule or to govern our lives. And as we submit to God's authority, we will experience His peace. And you know, ladies, with the holidays demanding so much of our time and energy, we're going to have to be so intentional about protecting our time with Jesus. It's often during these busy seasons that I'm reminded of that very familiar story of Mary and Martha. And I know that you know it, but it was Mary's positioning herself at the feet of Jesus that made all the difference. She knew when it was time to stop working in the kitchen, or in our case, when it's time to stop shopping, wrapping, decorating, attending another holiday event, and just sit still before Jesus. And you know, she got some flack for it. Her sister wasn't happy with her. And perhaps some of the decisions we make during this season, some people won't agree with. But remember Jesus' exhortation and commendation. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." The better part was prioritizing Jesus. And when Mary positioned herself to sit at his feet and to listen to his voice, she gave him her full attention, time, and adoration. And she's such an example to us. I've heard it said that even good things can become bad things when they keep you from the best thing. And the best thing is Jesus. What can you do in these next few weeks approaching Christmas to focus your mind and heart on the wonder of Christ's names? I suggest the ABCs of prayer. This is when you pray back the names, character, and attributes of the Lord. You start with the letter A and you work your way through the alphabet. And I taught my kids this when they were really young, and they would say things like, for A, of God, you're awesome, and for the letter B, you're big, and for the letter C, you're the creator. And as they got older, I heard their prayer language and vocabulary expand and grow. And then it became, Lord, you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the beloved, Christ, divine, everlasting, faithful, gracious, Hosanna in the highest, Emmanuel, which means God with us, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, Messiah. You're near to the brokenhearted. You're omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, powerful. And then, of course, it always got tricky around the letters Q, X, Y, and Z. But I want to encourage you to try it with your kids, your small group, or just in your personal prayer time. It causes you to focus your attention. It will encourage and build your faith. Being intentional about prayer will prepare your heart for Advent. And lastly, worship will do wonders. Psalm 68:4 says, "Sing to the Lord, sing praises to his name." I liked how our lesson had us listen to a song and reflect on the lyrics. There are so many times that I want to express my love and devotion to Jesus, but I feel so limited in my expression. And then I'll hear a song and I'll say, Lord, that's how I feel about you. And I'll sing it back to him. Or I'll hear a lyric describing God's holiness. And it moves me to get on my knees or even on my face before him in worship. The Christmas carol, What Child Is This?, reminds us that the babe on Mary's lap is Christ the King. And the song implores us to quickly and without reservation give him praise. That's what haste, haste to bring him loud means. It means don't wait. Don't hold back your worship. As I've been preparing for this podcast, I can't help but notice all the songs on the radio that declare his name. And I won't sing them for you because I want you to finish out the last minute of this podcast. But one song in particular starts with this lyric. It says, "What a beautiful name it is." And then it goes on to say, "What a wonderful name it is." And then it builds to, "What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names." The name of Jesus is truly the name above all names. His name has power. It can heal the sick and make the lame to walk. In his name, there is forgiveness of sins. His name secures our salvation, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. His name gives us access to the Father. In his name, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. His name is supreme. It holds all authority and is more excellent than the angels. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ladies, as we approach Christmas, let's be intentional about meditating, praying, and worshiping the name above all names, and it will prepare our hearts for this Advent season.